Welcome back to the Tahoe Tap, everyone. Your local podcasters, Mike Perrin and Rob Galloway here, serving up yet another stellar podcast for your listening delight. Thanks, as always, for spending your valuable time with us. As expected, we leave the national news to the people that wear makeup on TV, and we bring you a fresh delivery of the local buzz around Tahoe. And when I say we, I mean Rob, because 100% of this news content in the beginning portion here was created by the wizard himself. I have nothing to do with it. He just puts me on the spot with a few quick questions, and I give him my candid answers with as little cheating as possible. And then the bulk of our show will be getting to know Pete Barnhart, Bernhard from The Devil Makes Three, which is headlining Winter Wondergrass Music Festival. It's the 8th annual Alpine celebration of bluegrass music and springtime in the Sierra, being held April 5th to April 7th, and it's at the Palisades Tahoe Resort in Olympic Valley, California. So we'll get into that in just a moment, but first, a word about our sponsor, the Tahoe Regional Planning Agency, A Voice for Lake. For more than 55 years, TRPA, as they are known by all the locals here, they've led the collaborative effort to protect and restore this spectacular region. The agency is committed to protecting the lake while advancing affordable housing solutions, improving transportation, and achieving community revitalization and equity. Learn more and help plan Tahoe's future at TRPA.org. All right, Rob, the airwaves are yours, sir.
All right, so let me clarify, though. I'd basically steal the content for this news portion from the writers at the Tribune and the Sun. So I just kind of put it together, but I really,
touché.
Really, it's me just stealing stuff from the other folks in the office. But all right, so diving into the news, and last episode, Mike, we had just been hit hard with that massive snowstorm. And since then, it's really been crickets, you know, beautiful, sunshiny crickets. But it's like Mother Nature, she just said, hey, I'm sorry for dropping, you know, all those feet of snow and just giving us really nice spring weather and spring skiing. So have you taken advantage of any bluebird days out there, Mike?
I sure as heck have. Teaching my daughter how to ski, and then I got out with the boys just yesterday at Sierra, and I have a newfound respect and sort of outlook at Sierra at Tahoe for a spring mountain because of all the trees being gone, and when the sun cakes it before it gets snow-cupped and really nasty, it is a totally different resort, forged from flames, as they say. Man, they are giving some of the other resorts around here, a spring skiing capital of the world, a run for their money. So, really? Yes, I have.
Cat out of the bag? Are you giving away some shared local?
I'm not going to tell them where I'm going in Sierra, but man, you guys got to check it out this spring.
Well, get it while you can, because it looks like we're recording this on Monday, March 18th, and it looks like there's some rain and snow on tap for this coming weekend. But, you know, there's still the rest of the week, so we'll see how it all goes. But, you know, Mike, it really wouldn't be a news segment without some type of housing-related content. And, what I want to talk about here is a challenge to Douglas County's determination that a petition to ban vacation home rentals, or VHRs, as we like to call them, was insufficient. So that was recently filed, and that filing mainly focuses on the financial impact of the petition, how it was determined, and because of the relationships of Douglas County judges, I think it was one had a son or I think a married, but because of the relationships that they have, the lawsuit won't be heard by either of those judges. So it is not going to be heard in Douglas County by either of them. I know there's still some TBD on what's going to happen here, but it doesn't look like this whole VHR thing in Douglas County is quite over yet. So stay tuned, and we'll follow that story and figure out what's happening there. But I did want to stay with housing because I know we don't typically get into the national news, but there was a significant happening over this past Friday with the National Association of Realtors, where they settled a number of lawsuits by paying out $418 million in damages and eliminating its rules on commissions, which that is, I think, the biggest key there. Because why is it really big news? Because by doing so, it essentially creates a savings for homeowners. And the experts are saying it could trigger one of the biggest jolts to the housing market in the past 100 years. And that's huge. Estimates are that commissions could be reduced by as much as 30%, driving down home prices, opening up inventory. Still TBD on what it would mean for Tahoe or what it could mean for Tahoe. But I think there's a lot of people that are don't know if it's excited, but interested maybe is the better word to see how this is all going to shake out and whether or not, that's going to open up, potential home ownership, or when we talk about just, cost of living and affordable housing around Tahoe. I mean, it's big in a lot of resort communities, but could this be something that helps that out? I don't know. We'll see. Any thoughts on your end? I know you mentioned it in a call we had earlier that it's all over the news.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be as big of a shakeup as they say it's going to be. I think they might just change that fee's name to an admin fee of some sort, or they're going to stick it to us somehow. They're going to get their money, right? I mean, they're working for it.
Yeah, well, you'd think so, but
So
no.
I don't think it's going to be as big of a shakeup as people are leading to, but hey, definitely interested into it. Following, as they say in the comment section.
Yes. Well, Mike, I know you don't live in Placer County, but if there is anybody who lives in the Placer County area of the lake, then according to the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation through the University of Wisconsin, you live in the second best county in all of California for quality of life. Now, this survey looked at things like, access to outdoor recreation, overall health, air quality, access to exercise, which I guess that just means like, I don't even know what access to exercise means. It's kind of a weird term, but also looked at proximity to doctors and doctors to residents ratios. But if you look at the whole survey, Placer finished number 4 overall. El Dorado finished number 17 out of 50. There are 58 counties in the state of California. But El Dorado was number 8 in quality of life. In Nevada, if you want to throw Truckee into the mix, they were number 20 overall, number 9 for quality of life. Now, Mike, you don't know this question. I'm just going to throw this out to you. Any guesses on who was number 1? Which county in California was number 1?
Alpine County?
There's nobody in Alpine. I
What
guess.
exactly, right? So you got your residence ratio is down, lots of outdoor activity.
There's no doctors in Alpine, though.
Okay, right. You gotta drive 4 hours just to get
Yeah.
it's all telehealth these days. I don't know who's number one.
Marin County. Marin County.
Oh, those rich,
Yeah.
yeah, folks. They paid the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation for that one. I could
But I
see
could see,
that.
yeah, all those national parks there. I mean, it's not a bad place to go and check out. And one other quick story, Mike, before I hop on off here, the Lake Tahoe Restoration Act of 2016, that is set to expire this year on September 30th, and that prompted community leaders to head to DC. A lot of really great progress projects have come from this, so it's really natural for folks just wanted this to continue. And I don't think there's anybody in and around Tahoe. Like if you live in Tahoe, you come to Tahoe, I don't think anybody doesn't want to continue. So let's see it, Washington. You spent some money on things way worse than this. I mean, let's help some folks out. I don't know. I don't see it dropping. I hope it's not going to drop off
It's a
because it,
sizable chunk of change,
yeah,
right?
it
In the
means a lot
hundreds
to
of
a lot of people.
millions. So it's dropping the bucket for DC, though. So,
Yeah.
yeah, I'd
Yeah.
say that's an easy negotiation.
Yeah, they burn money, on just crap that's not even, remotely this interesting or helpful to the communities that they serve. So let's just hope that they open up their eyes and they do what's right here.
Yeah, I
And then
mean, what is it? We could do like the math on how many visitors we have compared to national parks. I think we have something like Yellowstone, Yosemite, and Glacier National Park,
oh yeah.
something like that, three of them, and we get the combined visitation of that. So
Yeah.
just divide that dollar amount by visitors, and there we go.
Yeah.
Take that to DC.
We'll see. Hopefully. One last mention. We are open for our Best of Tahoe and Best of North Lake Tahoe and Truckee contest right now through the Sun and the Tribune. So if you want to pop onto the website, vote for your favorites there. I know the businesses and the folks around the community would greatly appreciate it. So figured I'd plug that in there before I turn it back over to you and we get into our interview portion.
All right. Yeah, the people of Tahoe Tap. The Devil Makes Three. They are an Americana band known for their unique blend of bluegrass, which is described on their website as a fun little combination here. Wandering folk, Delta blues, whiskey-soaked ragtime, and reckless rock and roll. Their lyrics often explore themes of love, loss, addiction, and the darker aspects of life. and drawing from both traditional folk music and contemporary storytelling. One of their big ones is Whiskey 7. That's probably their top one on Spotify. You know the song. You've heard it in the bar a time or two. The band formed back in 2002 in Santa Cruz, California, and consists of Pete Bernhard, guitar and vocalist, and then Lucia Torino, upright bass or stand-up bass and vocals, and Cooper McBean, which is on the guitar, banjo, and vocals. So one of their defining characteristics of the Devil Makes Three is their raw and energetic live performances, often featuring intricate vocal harmonies and skillful instrumentation. And you can witness this personally Saturday, April 6th. That's the day they are headlining at Winter Wondergrass. Like I said, you've got Friday night. They've got the whole day of entertainment there, and then Sunday as well. And then they've got this whole Road to Wondergrass festival going on. I think it kicks off here this weekend. Just check out Winter Wondergrass online. Make sure you click the Tahoe tab because they also have one in Boulder that just finished up. But check it out online to get the entire lineup of exactly when everybody's playing. But The Devil Makes Three, Saturday night, April 6th in Palisades, Tahoe. It's going to be a goodie. All right. For this interview, full disclosure, we had some self-serving factors in play here. One of The Devil Makes Three's top fans, our editor of Tahoe Daily Tribune and Sierra Sun, Lainey Griffo, she heard the office chatter of our guest this episode, and she weaseled her way into the questioning panel, rightfully so. She says, I'm doing it. I'll come up with some good questions, and that she did. So she's going to be joining us. We thought it was going to be 3-on-3, you know, in terms of the man-to-man defense here, but we got Pete Bernhard, as we said, they're the lead of the Devil Makes Three coming up. So shout out to Tahoe Mountain Inn before we get into the interview, making this podcast possible. About now, Rob, I know you're such a hard worker that when you stay in South Lake Tahoe, you just sleep sitting up, still typing emails. I know that's how you get so much done. You're just sleeping at the office at your desk. But maybe, just maybe one night, you can pamper yourself with the amenities of Tahoe Mountain Inn. Yes, I know we have free parking and free Wi-Fi at the office, but so do they. Yes, I know you can bring your dog into the office, but you can at Tahoe Mountain Inn too. But here's the kicker. Here's the kicker. It's always kind of cold in here, man. We're always wearing vests. And I mean, this is no joke, guys. We're always sort of bundled up. We got the, you know, the heaters going in here, the external heaters. But not a Tahoe Mountain Inn, man. You're going to be sitting pretty and warm. Every one of their rooms has a fireplace you can let rip all night long. Fully remodeled in 2023, it's South Lake Tahoe's newest boutique in TahoeMountainInn.com. All right, without further ado, Pete Bernhard from The Devil Makes Three. Let's patch him on in. As promised, we've got Pete Bernhard patched in for our interview portion of Tahoe Tap. And again, thanks for spending the time with us, Pete. Remind us of where you're at, what your setting's like right now, to give paint the picture for the listeners a little bit.
I'm in Vermont. I live in southern Vermont. And this is where I spend time when I'm not on tour. So yeah, I'm kind of in the country. In southern Vermont. And it's not probably as snowy as where you are, but similar.
Not quite, but it's melting fast these days. It's surprising after the eighth biggest storm how quickly it's dwindling. But we'll still have plenty on the ground in Palisades, Tahoe when you guys arrive for Winter Wondergrass. So I'm going to get right into my questions. I asked my wife last night, you know, talking about you guys at the Devil Makes Three, and she got a little fangirl on me and told me a fun little story about a speakeasy, a little tiny speakeasy in Colorado years ago that she got to experience you guys at. So said it was a really fun, intimate experience, but I want to know what the largest venue, best vibes, favorite personal show that you've performed at that stands out for you guys. And tell me about that experience.
Well, I mean, the biggest venue we've ever played is definitely Red Rocks, which is, I think that kind of encompasses all the things you said. I mean, it's It's an amazing place with amazing history, and it's just a pleasure to play, you know. Yeah, that's definitely the biggest show we've done. Although we also played Hardly Strictly Bluegrass in San Francisco years ago, and that was a giant show. I saw Dolly Parton play there to like 25,000 people, which was amazing. So I don't know. I'd say those two shows were both California shows were some of my favorites, just in terms of like the other artists who played or have played there, the kind of venue it was, and just sort of the beauty of the natural outdoor setting. You know, I'd say those are my favorite shows, those bigger outdoor shows and those really beautiful spots.
Yeah, I've been to Hardly Strictly, never been to a show at Red Rocks. So I've been told I'm missing out quite a bit on that entire venue. So I'll have to check it out. So in terms of performances, have you ever made a crucial save of any sort that would have been a complete showstopper had you not been able to pull off this save? You know, you forgot the entire set of guitars or instruments, or name something that just maybe the concert goer had no clue about, but was a big deal to you guys in terms of setting up for performance.
Well, one time we were playing in Chicago. I forget the name of the venue now, but about an hour before we were supposed to go on, somebody opened a door in the dressing room that we didn't think could open and crushed our stand-up bass.
Oh my God.
And
No.
it was like a total disaster. You know, it could have been anything. If it was a guitar or a banjo or a fiddle, it's like that's not as big a deal because it's just an easier thing to get on short notice. But luckily we had a friend who was I've got to give credit where credit's due, my friend Will Lindsay, who booked us some of our first shows in Eugene, Oregon when we first started the band. He was there and he called a friend and got us a bass in like 30 minutes. They brought it to the show. He took the bass away, brought it to like a local repair shop, and we played the show on this woman's bass. Like it was like it probably got there about 10 minutes before we had to go on stage.
Wow.
It was incredibly nerve-wracking. It's one of those things as a string band that you always worry about is the bass. You know, it's like when you fly, the bass is just really a fragile instrument. And yeah, you're always kind of in a panic about it. And that was the one time that, yeah, we made it on stage. We've been a band a long time. I'd love to say that that sort of thing hasn't happened a lot, but it actually has. I would say that was probably the worst, though, by far.
I love the story of overcoming that. And you can tell how crucial it is to all of your fans, right? When you hear Lainey gasp, like, she's like, oh my, that's sort of a crucial instrument there. And then away from the performance side, I just wonder if you guys ski or snowboard yourselves. If so, do you ride while you're at Winter Wondergrass on the days you're not performing, or even maybe the day of? And then if you don't, what are some of your passions that you enjoy while you're out on the road playing shows?
Well, I grew up, like I said, I grew up in Vermont, so I definitely was a snowboarder and a skier. And I started really young, but I also stopped fairly young. I got to the point where I used to snowboard and skateboard a lot. I was a really big fan of the sport. And like when I got really into music, I just sort of had to make a decision between where I wanted to spend my money. Was I going to spend it on, snowboarding and skateboarding, or was I going to spend it on music? And, music was kind of the clear choice for me. So I stopped buying, passes to the mountain, and I started buying guitars. And I've sort of been on that trajectory ever since. I can still snowboard, but it's not as, I'm not half as good as I was when I was
Well, and now, yeah, you
young.
got the whole injury, problem, right? If you injure your hands, your wrist or something like that
Yeah.
snowboarding, then that's a whole nother issue.
Yeah, it's an actual concern, like I do have to think about that for sure. Actually, when I used to when I used to skateboard, it would be like bandmates would be like, "You should stop doing that." You know, like you should stop doing that. We recorded one time in Sacramento on the in the hangar, which was a studio I don't think exists anymore, but they had a skate park, like a built-in skate park in the studio, with like vert ramps, and it was really, really cool. And I dislocated my shoulder there while we were recording. But luckily it was, you know, it wasn't that bad, and I was able to, you know, keep playing and everything, popped it back into joint, everything like that. But yeah, the two things don't exactly go together. You make a good point.
So what are some of the passions outside of music that you might enjoy? Because you guys have played Winter Wondergrass before. And so what's
Yep, we have.
something that you know that you really enjoy about Palisades and the Tahoe area?
Oh man, well, Lake Tahoe, obviously, but also, I mean, if we have the time, when we used to come to Tahoe, we would go camping. We don't usually have the time to do that anymore, but we would, you know, go and try and go outside, at least go hiking, and sometimes like stay outside, you know, if we had the time to do so. I think that's mainly what we like to do is, yeah, go for a hike, get
Love
out
it.
of town some, and just sort of see, you know, see the sights.
Right on. Well, that's the extent of my questions. I'm going to turn it over to one of your biggest fans. She won't admit it, but Lainey, our editor-in-chief here, take it away.
Yeah, I'm not normally on the podcast, but I had to talk to you, so I forced my way in.
All right. Well done.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of already went into it that you have spent some time recreationally in Tahoe outside of touring. How has Tahoe changed since you first started coming?
Well, we were actually talking about this a little bit right before we started the interview. It's just, I think like most places, there's just more people, you know. We've been a band for you know 20 years. So when we first started touring the West Coast, I think everywhere was kind of sleepier. You know, even when we were just talking about Austin, Texas, you know, when we first started going down there was just not that many people there, which we totally took for granted, you know, didn't not knowing any different. But I'd say that's the main thing. There's just more people, you know, secrets out.
Yeah. I think all of your music is really Tahoe. It matches the Tahoe vibe, but do you have a particular song that you think really fits the Tahoe vibe?
Not anyone specifically, but I mean, a lot of our music was written in that area. You know, we lived in not in Tahoe specifically, but we lived in Santa Cruz is where the band started. All of our early touring was done all around, you know, northern central California. We also lived in Davis, Sacramento area as well. Played in Nevada City. So I mean, you know, I think a lot of our early songs, a lot of our early records probably have that California feel to them.
Yeah, I agree. Do you have a favorite song that you have to play right now, either a newer song that you're having a lot of fun performing or an old song that's kind of been reinvigorated for you?
Well, recently we've been playing a song called Deep Down, which is off of our last record, which I really like. We didn't play it that much because it was on the last record, it had a drummer. And we've been playing as a three-piece recently, either just the three of us or with a fiddle player. And we've been sort of adapting some of the songs from the old record, from the last records, to that setting, and it's working really, really well. But we're actually, I'm enjoying playing new songs because we're working on new material for a new album, and so we've been demoing out new tracks in the past like couple months, and I'm going down to Austin, Texas to hopefully do some more of that with Cooper. So yeah, that's what I've been enjoying recently. So yeah, trying to write some new songs. It's been a while since we've put out a new album.
You guys have been together for about 2 decades. What have you learned as a band over that time?
Wow, that is such a giant question. It's almost like, what have I learned in my adult life? Like, it's hard to sum that up. But As far as music's concerned, I think I've just learned that, being a musician is something that you do because you love it, more than anything else. There's tons of motivations to play music, but I think that really, if you're gonna play music for 20 years, you just have to love it. You've got to love everything about it, which I do, luckily. But I think, when I first started playing music, I think I thought that there was some stage at which being a musician changed, and I think I was looking for something, sort of some accomplishment. But what I kind of learned in the long term is that it's just a great job to be able to play music with people who you like. And as long as you can keep that spirit, I think you can stay together as a band, and you can keep at it as a musician. I think when you lose it, all the hard aspects of being a musician sort of start to get a lot harder. I think in a way you gotta, I don't know, to me it's like, it's just really important to remember why you started doing it in the first place.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure. So, Pete, when we talk about something like Winter Wondergrass, you all have played your fair share of festivals. Is there anything particular that you look forward to when it comes to playing those types of shows?
Well, I mean, like I said before, it's always great when it's in a location like you guys are in. I mean, that's really amazing. Or, playing a place like the Red Butte Amphitheater is really a beautiful spot too. I mean, I think that's what I look forward to more than anything else is the places where you get to go and play, especially with music festivals. Sometimes they're really remote and, really beautiful areas of the country. And that's not always the experience of a musician. Most of the time we're going to the center of a city. That's where most clubs are, and that's mostly what we see is like, city center. But I think that's the thing I look forward to the most.
Well, and you teed up this next question for me perfectly, because when we talk about places to play, it looks like you all have two shows at the iconic Catalyst in Santa Cruz leading up to Winter Wondergrass. What's it like to go back there and play? I mean, that's where the band was formed. So is it different for you to go back there and play?
Well, to be honest, it's been a really long time since we played there. Yeah, it's been a while. So it's almost a hard question to answer. Like, what is it like? I'm like, I don't know. What is it like? It's been a long
Yeah,
time.
for sure.
But I mean, for us, it's like really, at least for me, it's really nostalgic, because that's actually where we played our first shows. And that's one of the reasons why it's so cool to go back there is the band was born in Santa Cruz, and when we were playing our first large shows, it was at the Catalyst, and I just remember that so clearly. It's almost feels like a complete lifetime ago. But yeah, I mean, speaking of which, Santa Cruz has changed a ton in that time. It's a very different place, but luckily, some places have hung on, and the Catalyst is one of them, which is great. And I think Santa Cruz has been and still is really a supportive place for musicians and music. And I feel like, yeah, we couldn't have done it without them.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I don't know just exactly how much time you get. I wouldn't imagine it's a ton of time to really, when we talk about these festivals, to be able to catch, some of the artists or all of the artists. But is there anyone that you're trying to get out, maybe grab a listen to, when it comes to this year's lineup? Anybody that you're like, I really want to hear these folks because I just love them.
Well, I'd like to see Sam Grisman Project for sure. I would love to see Sierra Ferrell. I just got to see her at Fresh Grass, which we played this year, and we're going to be playing next year as well. That was a great show. Yeah, to be honest, there's a bunch of people. The sad thing about music festivals is that sometimes you don't really have time to do that, you're at the whim of who's playing when you're playing. That's who you get to see,
Sure.
but I'm gonna do my best to get out there.
Well, Pete, I'll give you this time if there's anything else you want to plug. I know you mentioned, like you said, you were getting down to Austin and hooking up with Cooper to write some more songs. So there's not necessarily a new album to plug, but if there's anything else that you want to plug, go for it. I mean, the show is yours.
Yeah, wow. Well, I mean, I guess the only thing, yeah, that I want to say is really that we're working on a new record, and we're going to be going in the studio in July. and we're really excited about that. Other than that, you know, until the record comes out, I think we're just kind of going to be doing music festivals a lot like Winter Wondergrass. We're going to be playing Freshgrass, like I said. We're going to be playing in Wisconsin at the Blue Ox Music Festival. Yeah, we're going to kind of just be making our way around, but we're not going to be touring until after the album comes out. So yeah, that's kind of what we're doing now, just trying to work on new material and trying to work on new songs and get in the studio.
Well, that
Well,
sounds like a lot of fun.
I'm
Yeah,
personally
no,
excited for two more decades of you guys.
Oh, wow. I really hope so. That would be great. So looking forward to it.
All right, Pete. Well, we seriously appreciate the time that you've given us. Pete Bernhard with the Devil Makes Three. They are going to be one of the headliners at the Winter Wondergrass Festival coming up at the beginning of April. And again, Pete, appreciate your time. I look forward to seeing you there. And for all of us here at the Tahoe Tap, we will see you next time.
Great. Thanks so much.